Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
We're just going to get right into it and welcome the 25th governor of the state of Montana, Governor Greg Gianforte. He's been a little bit busy himself lately, getting out there with National Egg Month and whatnot as well. And then the governor of Florida coming to Montana, Governor Gianforte. How are you today, Greg?
Tom, it's good to be with you.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate that. So what brings Ron DeSantis to town?
Well, you know, the states have been responsible in how we budget, as how we manage the people's money for their benefit, whether it's national security or in the school systems, infrastructure, not so much the federal government. So what we're talking about today is a balanced budget amendment for the federal government and the need. We don't want to put this burden, this federal debt, on our kids and grandkids. And Tom, you maybe remember the first speech I gave in the House of Representatives when I was elected to represent Montana. The first thing I talked about was a bill I was going to introduce that day to make sure nobody in Congress got paid if we didn't balance the budget. And Tom, to tell you how wacky it is in Washington, I got booed by the Republicans and the Democrats. I brought unity to the Capitol. The last thing you want to do is touch their pot of gold, but it's not theirs. It's the people's.
Well, and we're finding that out. If anybody's tracking the discoveries of DOGE, and I know there's a lot of, I call it the crying and the whining a little bit. It's going to take some time, I think. And so it's just, there's a lot of theater and politics, almost too much. But anybody who's tracking, they're seeing a government that, in my mind, is just way out of control, not responsible with the taxpayers' money.
Every state government, we have all states but one have a balanced budget amendment. We do. Mm-hmm. We have to live within our means. Every business has to live within its means. Every Montana family has to live within their means. There's no reason why the federal government shouldn't have to do that. Now, there may be an exception in times of war. There are some reasons why you may have to do some debt spending, but geez, we're so far away from that. Let's just bring some common sense back. Let's live within our means.
What do you tell people? Now, I've been talking about it here as well. When we look at our debt and how immense it is, if we don't do something, we're going to have, a real bad circumstance we'll have to walk ourselves through. So in my mind, we're taking on a little bit of that pain right now. How does that go over publicly? I know it's hard for people to understand that, but what are folks telling you as a governor of Montana about the importance of a balanced budget and, you know, how much they're willing to, I guess, hurt to get there?
Well, we're now paying more interest on our national debt than we're spending at the Pentagon on national defense. This is how outrageous it's gotten. And we've been in difficult debt situations before. In the early 1920s, right after World War I, Andrew Mellon was our Treasury Secretary, massive debt from World War I, and yet they adopted policies of fiscal discipline during the 1920s. Remember, those were the roaring 20s. We paid off the bulk of that war debt and grew the economy. And the way they did it was if you have a certain amount of debt and you double GDP, that debt is then only half on a relative basis to where you were before. You can, first, we got to stop digging the hole. That's the first thing. Let's balance the budget, and then let's grow the economy, and we can get there. In fact, Andrew Mellon wrote a book on this. It's fascinating, entitled Taxation, the People's Business. And he explains exactly the way the federal government, U.S. federal government, retired massive debt and grew the economy at the same time.
How much appetite is there for a thorough auditing of our government? And I'm speaking mostly our federal government. That's where it's coming from.
Well, I introduced a bill when I was in Congress It's what Elon Musk is doing now. You know what the bill was entitled? Stop Paying Dead People. And I couldn't even get it out of committee. That's how screwed up Washington is. Now, we have some good voices there in our federal delegation, but boy, they love to spend money. And without this, even if we got a set of House members or senators who had fiscal discipline, 2 years later, we have a different bunch of people there, and they may not have the same fiscal discipline. This is why we need a constitutional amendment that says the federal government has to live within its means, except in very specific extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, and I think that's so true. It doesn't get done effectively outside of that. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte with us. Governor Ron DeSantis visiting Montana as well to promote this balanced budget. What's going to be the message from Governor DeSantis? How are you guys going to team up to try to move this ball forward?
Enough with the drunken sailors. Let's put forward a balanced budget amendment for the federal government so they start living in within their means, just like the vast majority of the states are doing, just like every business have to do, just like every family has to do. Everybody else does it. Why can't the feds do it?
Where do we cut then? Where do we cut effectively in the right, appropriately to get to a balanced budget, sir?
Well, I think Elon Musk is showing us. He's attacking waste, fraud, and abuse. Just in a few weeks, he's found over $100 billion of waste. We need to find a couple of trillion dollars to get within our means. But then with the policies that this Trump administration is enacting, we're going to grow the economy. Now, there's going to be a little bit of disruption here for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I'm encouraged. Markets up strong today as President Trump continues to use tariffs as a negotiating tool. We're seeing businesses make decisions to build factories here in the U.S. This is going to create a more American jobs. It's going to grow our economy. We have to implement some spending discipline, and then we've got to grow the economy to diminish the impact of the debt that we have.
Does Governor DeSantis, does he have coyotes in Florida?
I think those wily rascals, I think they're everywhere.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm just curious, what are you guys going to do to show the governor of Florida how beautiful are? And it's maybe the easiest job you've got for the day. But how is Montana going to impress him? What are you guys going to do for fun?
Well, he's kind of all business while he's here. He's going to show up at the Capitol. I'm going to welcome him. He's going to go meet with a number of legislators. I'm going to have a one-on-one with Ron. And I served with Governor DeSantis when I was in Congress. I've worked with him closely while he's been governor of Florida. Have a lot of respect for the man. He's been a real leader. And then we're going to do a press conference. And then he's got to go back and take care of some stuff in Florida. So this is kind of a whistle-stop tour for him. So we're not going to have time. Normally, we'd show some more Montana hospitality, but today's schedule's pretty tight.
Oh, did you get a chance? You're going to be able to cook him some elk or moose?
I haven't. He's flying in this morning from Idaho and going home this afternoon.
Okay. So, some other time.
We'll have to put that down.
Yeah.
He was up here. It was 2 years ago. We had a chance to visit a little bit. And then we showed him some real Montana hospitality. So he'll have to come back. And maybe I'll have to go down and get one of those big snakes out of the swamp.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte is with us. We're going to keep rolling here. We'll put that breakdown to the very bottom here, and I know you've got limited time. I want to talk about, first of all, our capital, right? Montana's capital, Helena, and what's going on there. You're promoting more business equipment tax relief. Senator Kazmaier has a bill out there that you guys have talked about here as well. Talk about what that does. I mean, you raised the exemption, I think, a couple of sessions ago, did it again last session, keep cutting back on that. Talk about why the business equipment tax is a good place to pull back on.
Well, it's a wet business equipment tax. Let me explain it first.
It's
a tax that every small business, every Main Street business, every farm, every ranch in the state pays on equipment they own. So farmers pay this on their tractors. They pay it on their combines. Dentists pay it on their instruments. Restaurants pay it on their grills, their forks, their knives. And when I came into office, there was an exemption, so every business didn't have to pay it on the first $100,000 of equipment. But there's no tractor you can buy for less than $100,000. In fact, combines now are closer to $1 million than they are to $100,000. So yeah. What we did, and not only do you have to pay this tax once, you've got to pay it on that equipment every single year. It's like the gift that keeps on giving. It's a annual sales tax on all the tools of your trade. Tractors, bobcats, backhoes, everything, plumbing equipment. And we've raised the exemption to $1 million, but things cost more. We've already taken 5,000 Montana businesses off the rolls entirely, but we think we should raise this exemption from $1 million for every small business to $3 million. And I was up in Fort Benton last week with Senator Kazmaier. He's been the champion on this, representing the ag community, standing side by side with a local farmer there. You know, we were standing in front of used equipment that exceeded $1 million. You own a couple of combines and a tractor and you're over $1 million. We need to give this break to farmers and ranchers and small business owners. Please, that bill is going to be heard this week. Look forward to getting it to my desk.
Yeah, that is such a punitive tax as well. In terms of how it just, it's a disincentive, a huge disincentive for businesses to expand.
And you pay it on equipment, whether you use the equipment or not. So talk about a penalty.
Yeah.
And some of it's equipment you only use a couple of weeks a year. So we'd like to not have a disincentive to invest in business. That's why we're working to eliminate the business equipment tax for all small business in Montana. Again, we've taken 5,000 small businesses off the rolls entirely. If we enact this up to 3 million, that'll take another 700, mostly farms and ranches, off the business equipment tax rolls.
Montana Governor Greg Gianforte is with us, spent 34 years in the private sector, founded Right Now Technologies from scratch. He and Susan, the first lady, 500 good-paying jobs out of that and more. Jobs a huge focus as well. I like what you've done for education, too, mental health. Governor, those balls are moving forward, too. Just staying with this a little bit, the business equipment tax in and of itself, if you get that to $3 million, I mean, what's left out there? How does that impact? I think there's a cost to our state. Obviously, there's going to be a cost to the state. That's got to be backfilled. Is it backfilled with borrowed money?
Well, understand the business equipment tax really disincentive investment. So that really inhibits future potential revenues because we're diminishing the profits of these businesses. It's actually not that expensive. It was way more expensive to go from $100,000 exemption to $1 million, bumping it from $1 million to $3 million. Now, this is property tax. Property tax goes to the local jurisdiction. So this bill, the way it's written, we use general fund money to backfill the local municipality. So we keep the counties and cities whole on the business equipment tax. But understand the burden this places on small business. They have to get their financial wizards to come in and count every fork and spoon and knife and table and chair and value it all just to calculate whether they owe the money or not. So what we haven't spoken about is the administrative burden of this tax, let alone, and I'll speak plainly, the opportunity for fraud, because the value of the equipment is all self-declared. The state can't go around and check the oil on every tractor in the state to see if it's still operating. I mean, it's a hard tax to audit. It's a huge administrative burden for every small business, not to mention the fact that it's just bad policy because people have already paid tax on this money. They paid tax once when they earned it. Then they invest in their business and the state coming alongside them, we say, well, we're going to test that. We're going to tax that asset every year until you're not with us anymore. I mean, that's not the way to run business.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Let's move on. Again, some highlights from National Egg Month. I think that's pretty cool to talk about here. And let me ask you this question. We were just out, went to Malta, and then went up to Northeastern Montana Farm Expo up there, and our affiliates, the people in Montana, Greg, I know you know this. I love them to pieces, and they're such they are responsible people for the most part. We've been discussing that there seems to be, and there's been a focus to revitalize rural America, get younger people back in buying businesses. And in the 2.5 days we were up there, that discussion, that seems to be materializing. There are folks who are recognizing, especially some of the older folks going, well, there's younger people now buying this business in this community, or they're running this business in this community. Talk about your impression on whether we're successful in revitalizing our rural communities.
Well, we have to do it. I mean, let's just be clear. Agriculture is not an industry in Montana. It's who Montana is. Our farmers and ranchers, they conserve and steward the land. They are the heart and soul of our rural communities, and it's the backbone of our economy. That being said, we've been working to do more value-added ag so we can keep more of the value of these commodities in these communities. That's extremely important. I was up on the High Line this last week visiting a local operation there that's particularly working with pulse crops. That's important. But we also need to diversify the economy. If we can bring some small boutique manufacturing businesses into the rural communities, that's going to add value. We need to get more young people into agriculture. That's the discussion we had. I had the grain growers, the stock growers, the Farm Bureau, and various other industry organizations around the table in the Capitol, and I had them to my home for dinner last week. And this was the discussion. How do we get this next generation in? The state can't do anything about the weather. We can pray for moisture, and we do, but we need to make sure we have a regulatory climate and we're bringing that next generation along. That's why last week I went into Eastgate Elementary School, met with the kindergartners, and I talked to them about where a hamburger comes from. And they took them a few guesses, but they got it. They now know the hamburger comes from the cow, and the bun comes from wheat that's ground into flour, and they bake into bread. And if they didn't have any farmers or ranchers, they wouldn't have any hamburgers. In fact, they wouldn't have any food. And that's why this is so important.
As a matter of fact, I love that. I'm watching the reel right now, Governor Greg Gianforte, chatting with those kids. That's pretty cool. Hands go up in the air. That's really that aspect of the job is pretty rewarding at times. Give us a sense again of where they're going to go with their struggles right now. Our farmers and our ranchers across the state of Montana, they're dealing with large inputs, but also the price of meat is way up, and grain maybe not so much. Give us a general sense in your tour of the confidence or some of the challenges that they're looking at.
Yeah, well, it's a mix. I mean, we're hearing a lot of things. I mean, we have areas of the state where we haven't had enough moisture. We had a number of dry years that's really put the pressure on the grain markets. I was up at Circle View Farm in Fort Benton. They have a diversified operation, winter wheat as well as pulse crops, and it's really been the pulse crops that have been carrying them, that's a good thing. They're making it. Mm-hmm. Other folks who have not been as diversified are having a little more trouble. That's why I'm so proud to have Jillian Street now, the new director of the Department of Ag. She's all about regenerative processes for stewardship of the land, as well as diversifying revenue streams. Because let's face it, farming is a bet. You put the grain, you put the seed in the ground, and you hope you get enough moisture. And then if you do, that you have a strong market that you can get a return on your efforts. And when all your eggs are in one basket, it's harder than when you have diversified revenue streams. And so I'm from the farmers and the ranchers I'm meeting with, they're concerned about moisture. There is some uncertainty associated with tariffs, but that's secondary really to the drought issues I've been hearing about. And at the state of Montana, We're going to continue to support our farmers and ranchers in any way that's helpful to make sure that they can plot their own course and they're not, none of them want to be dependent on government. So I always say, you know, I'm with the government here. We're here to stay out of your way.
Hey, I know that the Consul General from Canada for our region, Sylvain Fabi, he was on the program. He visited various sites across Montana this last week. I think Canada feels like our president's picking on them. And you know, that language could be reeled in my mind anyway. But did you get a chance to meet with him, or what is your take on the responsibility and the relationship that we have, Montana and Canada?
Well, I've met with Consul General Fabi half a dozen times over the last couple of years. He's been it's been good to work with him. He's been a straight shooter. Recently had a chance to meet with the Minister of National Defense for Canada out of Ottawa. It's amazing how much attention President Trump is getting. I've had the Taiwanese in, I've had the Japanese in, I've had the Indians in. We've had people, government officials from all over the world. It's amazing how quickly they've snapped to attention. I worked with the premiers in Alberta and Saskatchewan to request extended hours at the border crossings in Montana. That was granted in January, so we now have extended hours because of the outreach we did to both Trudeau and Trump. So I think we have a role at the state to make sure those border crossings stay open because Canada is our largest trading partner in Montana. And we have an obligation with all of our foreign trading partners. I did a foreign trip to Taiwan last year. We took a bunch of ranchers and grain growers and high-tech entrepreneurs with us. I have an obligation to continue to promote Montana commodities in these markets. I'll probably do another trip later this year to a different jurisdiction that's one of our top trading partners. So we're going to continue to work it to make sure the markets are strong for our farmers and our ranchers.
Governor, thanks for coming on today. I appreciate that. Thanks for being a public service
pleasure.
As well. Yeah. Also, here's one. We play this probably maybe a dozen times a year or more.
Every day is meat day in Montana.
I'm not sure if you heard that, but that was a couple of years ago when you said every day is meat day in Montana. And that gets played frequently around here. I'm with you.
Well, we love Montana beef, and I cooked up a nice, juicy steak last week to celebrate Meat Day, and I would encourage all Montanans to do it on a regular basis.
Say hello to Susan for us and be well, Greg.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.